que c'est possible de raviver la flamme pour un média social lorsque on a légèrement perdu un peu l'intérêt? Mais ici, je vous parle de podcasting parce que vous le savez, je produis de moins en moins de podcasts pour toutes sortes de bonnes et aussi de mauvaises raisons. Mais aussi, c'est parce que, comment je pourrais dire, je n'ai plus autant la flamme qu'à mes tout débuts. À mes tout débuts, j'étais extrêmement passionné. J'y pensais presque nuit et jour. À tout moment, je prenais des notes pour faire des émissions. Et là, mais maintenant, ça a pris une place, je dirais, plus dosée, plus normale. Et étant donné que ben c'est pas mon travail, c'est pas ce qui amène du pain non plus sur la table, c'est un hobby. Et ben c'est sûr que je mets du temps dans beaucoup d'autres choses qui me prennent du temps que dans le podcasting. Ça me fait me poser la question, est-ce que c'est possible de vraiment de raviver la flamme lorsque on a perdu l'intérêt pour un média social ou lorsqu'un média social a perdu de son intérêt de la part de la population en général? Il n'y a jamais eu autant de podcasts qui ont été téléchargés. Il n'y a jamais eu autant de gens qui en écoutent. Contrairement à Facebook ou Twitter, on le voit, Facebook est légèrement délaissé. Il y a un peu moins d'activité sur ce réseau-là. La même chose pour Twitter, en fait. Sur Twitter, ça a toujours été. Il y a des gens qui partent. Il y en a d'autres qui arrivent. Il y a toujours quand même une bonne activité. Mais si on ne suit pas d'autres gens, si on n'agrandit pas son cercle d'influence, ben c'est sûr que le nombre d'interactions baisse constamment. Donc, quelles sont les façons de faire en sorte que notre média social redevienne passionnant? Ben c'est simple. C'est tout simplement de s'y mettre, de recommencer à produire et, dans mon cas, de se mettre derrière le micro et de vous partager plein de choses. Mon nom est Sylvain Grandmaison. Vous écoutez Le Québec en balado-diffusion. So many questions, but many less answers. I seem to leap from doubt to doubt like a blind drifter. And the more I look around, I recognize this place, this face, these hands. Not familiar, but strange. And every step I seem to lose more than I gain. I guess I live when I'm back where I began. Just like this recurrent dream that I used to have. The more I run towards you, the further I am. But if I close my eyes, then maybe I'll see you. And if I stop and I can't attend, then maybe I'll reach you. You'll get there in the end. Mm-hmm. In the end. So give me some certainties to easing up the pain. Give me some truth that stands so that I understand. Cause I've got nothing to hold. It's like running water through my fingers. Find me something to keep to help me sleep. But I wonder, maybe you wonder too. When in fact I'm just like the rest. And if that's the case, then maybe I've found the one thing that's true. This common doubt that you nace that makes us come looking for you. But if I close my eyes, then maybe I'll see you. And if I stop and I count to ten, then maybe I'll reach you. You'll get there in the end. Mm-hmm. In the end. Questions, but many are less answers. I seem to leap from doubt to doubt like a blind drifter. And the more I look around, the less I recognize this place, this face, these hands.
familiar but strange. And every step I seem to lose more than I gain. I guess I'll end when I'm back where I began, just like this recurring dream that I used to hear. The more I run towards you, the further I am. But if I close my eyes, then maybe I'll see. And if I stop and I count to ten, then maybe I'll reach you. You'll get there in the end. In the end. Questions, answers, 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 questions, answers.
Et oui, vous l'avez peut-être reconnu, c'est Lou Doyon qui a lancé un album en 2012. Et puis, ben, c'est très, très, très bon. Ça s'appelle « Questions and Answers », qui va un peu avec mon questionnement que j'ai en ce moment par rapport au podcasting, par rapport aux médias sociaux, tout ça. Pas que je suis prêt d'arrêter d'utiliser les médias sociaux. Au contraire, je les utilise encore une fois plus que jamais. Je vous ferai pas la genèse de tout ce pourquoi qui a fait en sorte que j'ai un peu diminué la cadence. Vous le savez, j'en ai déjà parlé. J'ai acheté une maison il y a 2 ans. J'ai un enfant, j'enseigne. Je fais des contrats avec ma compagnie et de plus en plus, et en tout cas, on est dans une, comme on pourrait dire, dans une phase de croissance en ce moment aussi. Donc, tout ça mis ensemble fait qu'il y a un peu moins de temps, mais je suis en train de me donner les moyens pour essayer de produire un peu plus souvent. Je vous fais aucune promesse, c'est sûr, mais si ça se produit, bien, vous en bénéficierez, c'est sûr. Si ma voix sonne un petit peu drôle, c'est pour une bonne raison. C'est parce que j'enregistre avec un genre de combiné téléphonique. J'ai un drôle de setup, en fait, ce soir pour faire mon podcast. À la place d'avoir mon micro traditionnel avec mon superbe préampli à lampe et un mixeur et tout le tralala, ben, j'utilise Boss Jock Studio, une application pour faire du podcasting sur l'iPad ou sur l'iPhone. Et j'utilise aussi un combiné téléphonique pour iPhone. Vous savez, c'est genre d'appareil qui ressemble à un combiné téléphonique, un ancien combiné téléphonique de téléphone à cadran. J'ai acheté ça, oui. Je suis tombé là-dessus, il y avait une vente, c'était vraiment pas très cher. Puis je me suis dit, je vais l'essayer tout simplement pour faire mon podcast. C'est pas un son aussi riche qu'à l'habitude, mais ça a l'avantage d'être assez, assez clair. Donc, c'est seulement pour cette fois-ci. Je vous reparlerai un petit peu plus tard de qu'est-ce que je suis en train de faire pour le reste des choses. Bien sûr, il y en a un, comme toujours, et puis là, ben, je vais faire de mon mieux pour essayer de vous faire entendre mon action de débouchage de bière. Oui, parce qu'il y a un carburant de la semaine. Le carburant de la semaine que j'ai, c'est une belle gueule Lager d'hiver. J'y ai goûté un peu durant le temps de Noël et j'avais trouvé ça assez bon. Et je voulais, qu'est-ce que ça dit sur la bouteille? Ça dit « La belle gueule d'hiver brassée à partir d'une sélection de malt supérieur et houblonné à froid avec des houblons tchèques, cette lager à la robe rousse sera vous séduire. » Donc, oui, c'est houblonné à froid. Donc, à la place de mélanger le houblon qui est une plante aromatique, à la place de mélanger ça pendant qu'on fait bouillir le mou de bière, ben en fait, eux l'ont mis à froid, donc ça donne des houblons qui ont un goût un peu plus frais, moins cuit, qu'on pourrait dire. Puis aussi, je sais que l'usage d'une certaine forme de sucre aussi qui donne son goût particulier à cette bière-là, donc je vais la déboucher devant vos oreilles, si je suis capable de vous faire entendre ça. Oui. Donc, elle est légèrement rousse. Là, une belle couleur. C'est quand même assez transparent. C'est assez léger aussi, comme bière, mais elle est pleine de saveurs. C'est drôle, elle a une odeur un peu, que je pourrais dire, de ferreuse. Ça sent vraiment le houblon. Et je vais la goûter. Oui, mais on retrouve un petit peu moins présent le petit, justement, ce goût ferreux-là. Mais le goût des houblons est très présent. C'est des houblons, je n'ai aucune idée du nom, c'est des houblons tchèques. Mais je sais qu'ils se retrouvent dans certaines bières, des brasseurs BSG, brasseurs sans gluten, juste à la saveur. Je reconnais ça. Et dans certaines bières qui viennent aussi de l'Ontario, que je reconnais la saveur, c'est surprenant pour une bière belle gueule qui se boit assez facilement. Elle fait 5,2% d'alcool. Ben, elle a vraiment, vraiment beaucoup de goût. En même temps, c'est pas trop prononcé. C'est le genre de bière qu'on pourrait faire boire aux gens qui sont pas habitués aux bières de microbrasserie, aux bières qui goûtent, et puis qui, je crois, apprécieraient quand même ce type de bière. Donc, profitez-en pendant qu'il en reste. Je vous conseille d'en boire, d'aller vous en chercher et d'y goûter. C'est vraiment très bon. Ah oui, ce petit bruit de téléphone, parce que je vous l'ai dit, j'enregistre avec un combiné téléphonique pour iPhone, et j'enregistre avec Boss Jock Studio. Je crois que vous en avez légèrement parlé au dernier épisode. C'est une application qui a été lancée, je crois, l'été passé. Je l'ai téléchargé pas nécessairement très longtemps après qu'elle a été mise en ligne, sauf que je m'en étais pas vraiment servi. Parce qu'elle était sur iPhone, parce que j'avais rien pour brancher qui allait sonner correctement pour la voix. Et puis, ben, j'ai remédié à la situation. Et puis, ben, je peux vous en parler un petit peu. J'en reparlerai. Je parlerai un petit peu plus tard dans un autre épisode de mon utilisation, quand je l'aurai un peu plus utilisé. Mais ça permet d'enregistrer en temps réel. Il y a ce qu'on appelle des cartes audio, donc des boutons pour faire jouer la musique, pour faire jouer les sons en temps réel. Il y a un genre de fader qui nous permet d'ajuster le niveau sonore du microphone, le niveau sonore aussi de la musique qu'on fait jouer et aussi le niveau sonore du mix final. Moi, j'avais une application pour iPad qui sert à faire faire jouer des cartes audio comme ça, qui est un peu ce qu'on servait jadis à la radio pour faire jouer, par exemple, des publicités ou des jingles. Donc, j'avais une application dédiée que je passais à l'intérieur de mon mixeur audio et mon microphone aussi allait dans mon mixeur audio. Donc, une configuration quand même assez complexe basée vraiment sur le matériel. Là, je peux faire toute la même chose à l'intérieur d'une seule application pour iPad et tout ce que je vais avoir besoin, c'est d'une interface audio qui permet de brancher dans le iPad. Donc, ça risque de simplifier beaucoup le processus. Non seulement ça, mais dans les paramètres, on peut faire du docking pour la musique, c'est-à-dire lorsque on parle, la musique va baisser automatiquement et on peut choisir à quel degré. Donc, la musique baisse de 75%, de 50%, comme on veut. Il y a aussi un phénomène de attack and release, donc qu'il y a un petit fade-in, fade-out, si je pourrais dire, un punch lorsqu'on se met à parler ou lorsqu'on arrête de parler. Et puis, dans les fonctionnalités, lorsqu'on veut configurer les boutons pour la musique, on peut aller chercher cette musique-là dans notre bibliothèque iTunes, par Dropbox aussi, de diverses façons. C'est assez impressionnant. On peut par la suite exporter nos fichiers, donc notre mixage final. On peut l'exporter, oui, en format AAC, mais ça permet aussi de l'exporter en MP3, ce qui est plutôt rare pour les applications qui sont sous iOS, qu'on puisse exporter en MP3, alors que c'est le format le plus répandu et aussi le format de prédilection pour faire du podcasting. Quand on a terminé, on a exporté, on peut s'envoyer ça par courriel, donc directement dans le logiciel, on peut le placer sur Dropbox pour aller après ça le récupérer, ou on peut le mettre directement sur un site FTP. Donc en rentrant nos informations, tout ça, ça fonctionne. Directement aussi dans l'application, sur mon fichier MP3, je peux placer les tags, je peux placer l'image de mon fichier MP3, faire tout ça. Et on peut aussi insérer du texte dans les tags. Donc, comme vous voyez, c'est vraiment extrêmement puissant. Ça fait à peu près tout ce qu'on peut faire pour le podcasting, sauf publier notre billet de blog dans lequel va notre podcast. Mais on peut aller placer directement notre fichier média sur notre site FTP et quand on arrivera dans notre blog, il restera juste à mettre le lien. C'est tout. Donc, ça facilite vraiment beaucoup la chose. J'espère que ça va bien fonctionner et je vais pouvoir m'en servir et vous faire de plus en plus de podcasts. Et j'imagine que vous souhaitez ça aussi si vous êtes en train de m'écouter. Alors oui, je vous ai dit que ça me prendrait une interface. Donc, je l'ai commandé, une interface audio mobile pour iPhone qui s'appelle Tascam IXZ, si ma mémoire est bonne. Donc, on peut brancher un micro XLR. On peut activer le Phantom Power pour les micros à condensateur qui ont besoin de puissance fantôme. Donc, il y a un bouton pour sélectionner ça. Sinon, on peut aussi brancher un instrument. Donc, on peut brancher une guitare, une basse ou tout ce qui fonctionne avec un jack 1/4 pouce. Évidemment, pour que ça fonctionne, ça prend des piles, surtout pour activer le Phantom Power. Donc, ça prend 2 piles AA pour faire fonctionner la chose. Aussi, pour pouvoir monitorer, le bidule a une sortie pour un casque audio. Donc, on peut brancher nos micros, on peut tout faire à l'intérieur de ce petit bidule-là. Et la beauté de la chose, c'est que ça se branche dans la prise audio de notre appareil, donc du iPad, du iPhone, ou peu importe votre interface, vous pourriez faire enregistrer sur un BlackBerry avec cette interface-là, puis ça fonctionnerait, ce qui est assez fantastique. Donc, ce que je prévois, c'est pouvoir être très mobile. Je pourrais enregistrer sur l'iPad avec ce petit bidule-là, puis un micro, et c'est tout. Ou bien sur l'iPhone, donc je me vois très bien avec sur l'iPhone, avoir un micro à main externe, être très, très, très mobile, puis quand même pouvoir insérer mes jingles, ma musique, tout ça, faire une entrevue en temps réel, peu importe. Donc, c'est extrêmement pratique, ce petit bidule-là. Puis quand je l'aurai, je vous en parlerai, ça c'est sûr. Soyez-en convaincus. Oui, avant de continuer, je vais vous faire jouer une autre chanson de Loudoyon, puis je vais vous parler un petit peu tout à l'heure de Podcamp Toronto. Donc, je vous laisse avec Loudoyon et Devil or Angel.
I'll never quite understand why we love to carry on wars as we do. And I haven't yet opened the doors that your bullets are already flying through. And I wish you'd stop claiming you surrender. Lay down the guns if you do. Accuse me of standing guard, but wouldn't you? Honey, you're so quick to skip from praise to slander. Devil or angel, I know one or the other. And I'm sorry if I disappoint you. So I'll never know
hearts are on their way. And I wish you'd stop claiming you surrender. Lay down the guns if you do. You accuse me of standing guard. Oh, but wouldn't you? Honey, you're so quick to skip from praise to slander. Devil or angel, I know one or the other. And I'm sorry if I disappoint you. So you'd stop claiming you surrender. Lay down the guns if you do. You accuse me of standing guard, but wouldn't you? Honey, you're so quick to skip from praise to slander. Devil or angel, I know one or the other. Sorry if I disappoint you. Honey, you're so quick to skip from praise to slander. Devil or angel, I know one or the other. And I'm sorry if I disappoint you. So if I disappoint you, so if I disappoint you, so.
Oui, c'était Devil or Angel, encore une fois, de Lou Doyon. Lou Doyon, fille de Jane Birkin et de, je ne me rappelle plus son prénom, mais d'un réalisateur britannique, si ma mémoire est bonne. Et puis, évidemment, elle vient d'une famille où la musique était quand même assez présente. Mais ce qui peut être surprenant, c'est que c'est pas nécessairement sa mère qui lui a donné le goût de la musique, mais plutôt son père. Elle a dit que c'est surtout son père, sa collection de musique. Et aussi le fait que c'est son père qui l'a ouvert à différents styles de musique, qui a fait en sorte que... elle a commencé à vouloir chanter. Je dois dire que c'est quand même elle dans la famille qui a le plus de voix, si on compare à sa mère ou à sa demi-sœur, Charlotte Gainsbourg. Je dois dire que oui, elle a un peu plus de voix, un peu plus de coffre, malgré qu'elle est toute menue. Et son univers musical est assez fort. J'aime beaucoup, beaucoup ce qu'elle fait. Je dois dire, c'est un des albums que j'écoute le plus en ce moment. Puis, si vous le connaissiez pas, j'espère que ça vous donnera le goût, peut-être qu'il n'y a pas non plus. Donc, je vais vous parler un peu de PodCamp Toronto. Je suis allé là il y a une semaine et demie environ. Donc, j'ai partagé ma chambre avec M. Bob Goyetch, un autre podcaster très, très, très connu et actif dans le milieu du podcasting, quoique lui aussi est devenu un petit peu plus tranquille là-dessus. En fait, ce qu'on a fait, on était dans une pièce à PodCamp. En fait, il n'y avait aucune conférence qui nous intéressait à un certain moment donné. Puis on s'est dit, mais pourquoi pas aller dans une des pièces, puis se mettre à enregistrer, puis avoir une discussion, tout simplement, comme on avait fait avec Laurent Lassalle il y a 2 ans. Donc, c'est ce qu'on a fait. Puis on a eu une discussion, il n'y a rien qui était prévu, on n'avait aucune idée de quoi on allait parler. Puis on s'est mis à parler de l'état du podcasting, de nous, d'un peu de comment on voyait ça, puis pas nécessairement ce qu'allait être l'avenir, mais qu'est-ce qu'on devrait faire pour restimuler un peu le milieu du podcasting. Et notre constat était que de plus en plus, les podcasteurs étaient des électrons libres, alors qu'au départ, on était une communauté très tissée, serrée. Maintenant, ce ne sont que des électrons libres et on a un peu l'impression que tout le monde en a rien à foutre des autres podcasteurs, alors que je ne suis pas sûr que c'est vrai tant que ça. Je pense que les gens aimeraient savoir, aimeraient se connaître un peu plus, aimeraient savoir un peu plus ce que les autres font, mais il n'y a plus de cohésion, il n'y a plus justement l'effet de nouveauté du départ où est-ce que tout le monde s'entraidait. Maintenant, ben, les outils sont là. À l'époque, on s'aidait tous un peu pour essayer d'apprendre en même temps qu'on le faisait. Maintenant, tout est là. C'est facile à faire, tout ça. Donc, ça change un peu la donne. Puis, ben, je vais vous laisser écouter ça. Je me rappelle pas exactement combien de temps ça dure. À peu près une demi-heure. C'est en anglais, évidemment. Et, c'est une discussion. Il y a moi, il y a Bob Goyette, il y a Bill Dees, il y a Scarborough Dude, il y a Will Spadzel. Tous des gars qui ont été très, très impliqués au niveau du podcasting au Canada depuis plusieurs années. Mais je vous laisse avec ça. J'espère que vous trouverez ça intéressant. Mais je vais vous reparler juste un peu tout de suite après.
Put on the table. Yeah. You're the host, so...
I'm the host.
Well, you did this before. So we don't know what you're doing.
I don't have a clue what I'm doing.
So what did you when you and Laurent did it? What was that?
What?
When you and Laurent did it, what did you...
Oh, it was about social media douchebags.
That's an eternal topic. We can
see that. We can dig into that for
sure
hours, for years.
There's still a douchebag smell in the room.
That could be me. I haven't changed my clothes for 3 days.
Oh, that's a different bag smell. That's a dude bag smell.
And dude bag must be a bag of weed.
Keeps me going.
Yeah.
Look, we've been talking for 2 days. Now we're trying to record, and none of us are going to...
So we're on. We're recording. Who's the host?
Is this going to be
the host?
Is it going to be Addiction James?
No host.
It's not really a panel show.
I'll use the clip if nobody else does. Yeah. That's a good idea, because I called this the PodCamp Toronto when I did the bit with Mark this morning. We got 22 minutes into it.
Okay.
Then Mark started talking about Tim Coyne. I said, fuck off. He's not here. It's not about him.
He always makes it about people who aren't here.
Yeah. But we are, now overall, I gotta say, for PodCamps, for me, for learning, for going to sessions, this has been the best one. Usually I don't go to sessions, I'm just out in the hallway talking.
And
every session I've gone to, except for the one I just walked out of, Idle No More, I've really enjoyed. The woman today did a multicultural, how Canada's changing, 65% visible minority by 2030 in Vancouver and Toronto. That's new market. How do you market to these people? There's 130 Punjabi or Indian newspapers in Brampton.
Mm-hmm.
How do you reach these people? Well, the internet's the only thing. How are the big companies doing it? To not to belittle, but to actually learn about the culture, interact, get their business, because there's $50 billion of business in this market. You can't do it. So mainstream media is having to learn how to not just generically reach out and, okay, we'll do something in Chinese, but to actually understand the culture, reach those people, get a share of that market, but not in a talking down kind of way. She knew her stuff. She was an incredibly good presenter.
Oh, yeah? Because I've been to a few sessions yesterday, and besides Anthony and a few others, many of them suck.
Well, it's always hit and miss. This is the thing about PodCamps, right? You got a whole lot of sessions, and sometimes it's luck. I just got on a lucky streak this weekend, and the ones I went to.
Yeah.
But you stack the deck.
My feeling about PodCamp is that we kind of evolved, but the crowd who's coming at PodCamps, there's always new people, new presenters, and the level of the presenters doesn't necessarily go up. It refreshes itself every year.
Yeah.
But
have we evolved, or are we the dinosaurs? We hear our conversation
maybe.
Last night. We're dinosaurs. We're the old timers. We're way
wrong. Here's the problem.
Are we relevant?
We got past it, and we have other things to say, but we're too fucking pissed off at everybody else to want to come here and actually share that.
That's a very good point.
I don't know if it's a pissed off thing.
It's not so much pissed off. It's tired of having to fucking keep telling people, like the guy yesterday in Anthony's thing, don't try to convince me. Just live it. You be your thing. And the guy, he's releasing a podcast trying to convince people about environmentalism. Guess what? The people who are listening to it aren't the people you're not going to convince those people because they're not listening to you.
Yeah.
So stop that.
Yeah.
And we're tired of having to say it. So we're just going, you know what? We come here and we hang around, we go drinking, and we have our fun.
And there are still, in reference to your point about the people who haven't moved on, there are still people. How do I get more listeners? How do I boost my numbers?
Yeah.
And they still have that mindset. And it hasn't changed in 7 years. They never caught on. But you don't do what you do.
And all of the best podcasters have no idea how many people
have never heard it.
Yeah.
But we've heard it every year over and over again.
But you know
again.
What? Like, to be fair, in 2006 and 7, a lot of us were wondering, how do we build audience? How do we do that? So those are legitimate questions when you're starting, you know?
But we already know the answer.
Well, that is the answer. And that's why we're grumpy about it, I guess.
But it's different.
The answer is, so what? That's the answer.
Yeah,
it's what you love doing. But it's still different. Because we were trying to figure out how to make it better. But I think we also realize that we're not just trying to get a million listeners. We want to have a really great podcast.
Yeah.
And it wasn't about getting a million listeners. It was just having a better podcast, and we knew that it would kind of follow.
And of course, the number of marketers coming to PodCamps is higher, way higher than the first PodCamp. There was a few of them, of course, but the main crowd was just regular.
I'm
guys
throwing
like
out
us.
80-90% now. Basically marketing people.
Yeah.
How do I?
And
this
have
is
you
my
seen
profession.
Those marketing sessions are packed, and they're not that interesting.
No,
but it's like you know,
half the people that leave there are blown away by it.
Yeah,
it's kind of like you know people who are into affiliate marketing on the internet.
Yeah,
they hang around with people who are also into affiliate marketing, and they kind of feed on each other. And I think marketing people is the same way. It's like the first one to put their name on the board saying, "I'm going to talk about marketing."
But at what point are they just trading checks?
I'd say at step one they are, you know. But it's the thing. It's a marketing isn't a person. It's a tribe, and they follow each other and whatever. But
we are another distinct subculture, and that's our strength, and we're very proud of that. And that's why we do have a little bit of anger with us too about those other people who don't even know we exist. And that's why this room of saying, hey, we must always have a podcasting presence at PodCamps. Because they will never know. And if you just get a couple of new people come in and say, oh, gee, I didn't know that, it's great.
That's probably not going to happen. But that's also probably one thing we as a group, if I consider us the Wave 1 guys who are still coming to PodCamps, I think that's maybe something where, I think you're pretty good at it, but we're not a very, like Andrew Kruger used the word click, and I guess click is just a group of friends by default, but we're not attracting new people into this group.
Well, this is what bothered me. Like this morning, I mentioned Keith McNally, and Mark said, "Who was that? Which one was that?" I said, "How the fuck didn't you know?" Like he was the guy who led the panel discussion there yesterday, and they're out there and they're strong and they have listeners, you know, North America. Why they're a strong podcast? They're significant. They are who we were.
Yeah,
in a way.
The same thing in Quebec.
We got to connect with them.
But are they are they open? Like, I'm making this sound like a club, but are they open to being part of the people that are maintaining the ideals that we're trying to maintain?
Yeah.
Or are they part of the,
they're,
how much money can I make?
They're
out of
diehard
this?
Amateur podcasts who say, fuck everybody else, fuck especially the marketers. They're preaching our message.
Mm-hmm.
But they would, if we asked them to be serious, like, you'd never ask those guys to host a Canadian podcast buffet because it's shit all over it. That's their trademark. It's shit on everything. And that's fine. I think that needs a role to do.
And there's
so they're not going to necessarily play the game and jump. We say jump, but they're holding our place. That's why I call it. They were a placeholder. Yes, they came here. What the fuck? It didn't matter what they talked about. They called it Star Trek. They got enough people who came in and did it. But basically, they were just having fun riffing off each other.
Yeah.
You picked out that line of the weekend was John's. Have you read the fucking Bible? You know what I mean? That was good. And those guys are fast. They know how.
Yeah.
They play the game. They're pros at it.
Yeah.
But in this crazy amateur way. So I wave that flag, and I think that's important that we, as the Wave Wonders, recognize the new people come up and say, hey, we need you guys to make us
because
stronger.
We used to be pretty inclusive a few years ago, and now we know each other so much that from the outside we must look like a very closed group.
Well, the last new guy to be part of this circle is Anth.
Yeah.
And Doug last night, which was great. Yeah. See, Doug, now those guys are carrying the flame. When we die off, they'll remember the Wave One guys. Maybe I'm speaking for myself there, but he was really interested in the story. It's like Doug was in stitches over the...
I think there's two things, is that I think on some level we like it, like the guy we were all discussing before, as the old timers, as the guy who were here before, as the elders of the community, if I can call us that.
Exactly. Of the tribe.
It's almost like they should pay respect to what we've been through, and we will include
that's
them.
That's why I said to you downstairs. Yeah. Like they have no idea what we've done in this space.
Yeah. And do they need to? No.
No.
But at a certain point, it's...
No, but they stand there and act like... act like they're the shit.
Oh, I know.
Nothing ever existed before.
Back the hell off.
Yeah.
Because we've been doing this. It's like people talk about Twitter. I'm like...
But they're not even ready to listen.
How the hell early were we on freaking Twitter?
I talked to the two last night, and it just fucked my head up.
And that's because...
They're not even paying any attention.
And you know what?
They got the message out there.
There's something weird about... We always... You know what? For the most part, when all this podcasters from back in 2005 were... listening to everybody's stuff. That's the difference. We were not just producing that stuff. We were listening to everybody else's stuff.
And we were playing each other's stuff.
And all these people now you can tell they've been to networking seminars.
Yeah.
Because it's them telling their story. And it's when it's us, I think we're a little put off by that because of the way they approach it. We always wanted to listen. But we don't want to listen to that type of people. We wanted to listen to people that also wanted to listen.
Right. So what is it? If we were to... Because to me, that's what maybe because I'm part of it, but I consider this the community. A lot of the marketers are never going to talk about podcasting or whatever, or they're not going to try to join. They're just going to try to push their message. We've always been more about connecting. So first of all, do we need to, and is there a way to bridge that? I think that the community itself, if it's... I mean, I love this. I love the circle of friends we have, and... You know who's in and who's not, and you know who has your back and who doesn't. But how do we get people to join? I think growth is important to it.
But
on the other hand, it's not a meritocracy.
But for starters, we can't double this community. No. It'll never work right. We can add a couple people, with Anthony. You know, every couple of years, somebody like Anthony comes in and Doug, and there's a few people every time. And I think that's okay. I think it's slow enough. I asked this actually of some of the group that does a lot of the CrossFit stuff in town, because they do these seminars and that, and they charge for it. And I was thinking, I'm going, why are they charging for this? Why isn't this free? Because I've always, for a long time, I always liked free, and I'm really starting to like the idea of paying for things.
Yeah.
Only mostly as a barrier to entry, and that's what. And I was thinking through it. I was sitting in one of their seminars actually. I attend just because I like going and hanging out with those people, and I'm sitting there going, I know exactly why they charge people for this, so that they have the type of person sitting in the audience that is willing to pay for this.
In the engagement, right?
Yeah.
It's
that's why, when we did PodCamp the second year in London, that's why we charged for it.
How much did you charge?
$1.99. It was $2 to register for PodCamp, and it was just enough that you had to actually go through the process of doing it. So what we didn't get was, 800 people register and 300 people show up.
Yeah.
We had because the first year we had 300 people register and 100 people show up, which is just not sustainable.
No, that's not organized.
When we charged, we had 150 people register and 130 people show up.
Yeah.
So back to the
numbers. For the last podcast in Montreal, we charged $30, but we gave a lot, and 90% of people showed up.
We found even at $2, even at $2, we had enough that it was okay. And out of the $2, we literally got 70 cents after paying all the processing fees and stuff. And that's what everybody's like, you're charging for this now, it was free forever. But I'm like, it's $2.
Yeah.
And to prove to you that we're not doing it for the money, it costs $1.30 every time somebody registers. So I'm not doing this to make money. We're doing it just to not be free. So
back to the numbers. I don't think we want those markets. I think our strength comes. We are a sub community.
Let's add three or four people.
A couple of people who come in and buy into it, who get it. You want people who get it. You want to control you. Last night was just such a perfect example. The marketers upstairs, the podcasters downstairs. It was a perfect split.
Yeah.
We found ourselves, and that's why I'm so grateful for, again, Picard, for setting this up, that at least the range, we got that basement, because we would have split the whole Saturday.
Yeah, because it would have gone.
But we were there, and we existed as a group, and none of the marketers would come down, or they'd come down and they'd want to pass out cards, they wouldn't connect, and boom.
Yeah. I guess what I'd like to see
happen. They saw everybody, all the previous tries littered on the floor.
Yeah. What I'd like to see, because I know that somebody, let's say somebody's coming new to podcasting now, this is their first podcast, and so they know that because it's on the internet, it's a fact of life that there is some marketing-ish things that are part of it.
Yeah.
You know, like there's tags and there's hashtags, you know, all that kind of stuff and whatever, and that blends in under marketing and blends in under just having stuff on the net. But in that group of people that are attending those marketing sessions, the 200 people that were in Dave Fleet's session yesterday watching him present his 100 slides or whatever and delivering his great marketing message, I know that in that room there's 5 people looking for this tribe. Yeah. That we are in.
Mm-hmm.
How do we tell them we're here?
Canadian Podcast Buffet.
Yeah, but
that's
they
your
don't
answer.
But
you will. They'll listen.
Partly,
they'll
but
you've got to have that.
They might listen, but are they going to find it in the first place?
But, oh, we got to get that out there. We got to get the message. But we can easily through Twitter,
but you know,
through Facebook.
I had an idea this year. If I had time, I would have made a session called like Marketing Through Podcasting. You know, the big super douchebag title. And once they're all in, the room is packed, now we're going to talk about real stuff.
Yeah.
And don't talk about marketing. Just talking about engagement and stuff.
We'll sit over there, we'll put a fancy buzzword title on it.
Yeah.
Here's the irony. We might need a marketer to come on board to help us get our message out there.
No, but we wouldn't, right?
Yeah,
you wouldn't.
But the thing is, we can easily do that. Once it goes and we launch it and you just keep, everybody has a responsibility as members of the community to get the message out, each of us in our own way, whether it's through Twitter, Facebook, or podcasting, say, hey, you got to listen to this.
We sort of
be evangelists.
Like, we sort of feel like outsiders at PodCamp now.
We are.
We are.
I feel the opposite. I feel we're the real insiders.
No.
And
yeah, but to the...
we're
the real insiders, but you know, 90% of them are...
Yeah.
We wouldn't be here, and 90% of them wouldn't know. That we were or not here.
Yeah, absolutely not. Sure.
So by definition, we're the outsiders.
We are.
Yeah.
But again,
and we used to have our own event called PAB.
Yeah.
But you know,
thinking about the buffet, the audio that we recorded last night, good audio. I was listening to the first 10 minutes of it, and it was fun. You don't want to send that to any of these people who have never heard of us.
Yeah.
Because we're sitting there reminiscing about all these old shows, that all this cool stuff. That's not getting them into it. That's not getting them better excluded.
Exactly. That's inside baseball.
So
there needs to be a buffet mark, too, that starts over from, like, the episodes we were doing the first year. Here's how we're recording audio. Here's how we're talking.
Why do we have to do that again? Those episodes are still there.
But all the references are gone.
Yeah, but...
Half of them talk about, like, they play clips from Bruce Murray, or they play clips from somebody who's not there anymore. There's no active engagement. Like, if the buffet, let's say, found... I don't even know the name because we haven't met. But let's say a guy like, well, Slugor's everybody kind of knew him. But let's say a new Slugor is there, and one of us finds him, and we play a clip of him on the show. And hey, here's, you know, like, back to the core value of the buffet, which was to highlight other Canadian shows of the type, and we can add the subtext now, of the type that isn't marketing douchebaggery.
Yeah.
Then... First of all, that guy who's sitting alone in his basement podcasting because he has that passion we have, here's his clip.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there's somebody else in the community.
And there's still room to talk about technical stuff. Like, we were all excited about Boss Chuck Studio earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we could still talk about new stuff and that's share with people. And we were talking about automating when you upload an MP3 file on an FTP so that it publishes automatically. We could talk about that stuff. It's still relevant.
It is. And I agree with you, Will. That's not the one to release to try and introduce new people. But I made a proposal to Mark this morning, and I'm being very
bold. So why are you proposing stuff to Mark?
Because he was the first guy I was sitting beside to talk.
Just bugging you.
Because they were spooning this morning.
Where's your hand? It's between these two pillows.
Their bedroom conversation was the podcast community.
I suggested that Doug and I do a podcast, do just one of these sessions as an introduction, because Doug does represent the new wave in a group, and he and I, and
let's go.
I think we could actually focus and get this as a relaunch of the buffet, and sort of explain what it was, where it came from and where it goes, and drop that out there. Not to say
actually, so you
mean share the load, so it's not just on Bill and Will.
Give it to Bill and Will, but let us do it. I think that's actually a pretty good idea
to get somebody who's kind of new to it and somebody who's been around it
for a while, and the two of them together. He's proven. He's one of us. He's in this.
To get him to kind of bring it out and ask some questions.
Exactly. And he and I both live in Scarborough. We meet in the same Bloody Bluffers Park. So it's a perfect. So let's say within the next month.
Go for it. We'll get it up.
We'll do that. We'll send it to you. And we would both take a lot of pride and honor in doing that and say, okay, here's a relaunch.
And then the rest of us in this
group. And then everybody else, like we said before, let other people, somebody else wants to be a guest host, somebody else wants to.
But other than content, well, I think us as a community, if our goal is to grow this type of community, we also need to engage in listening to the new stuff that's out there and saying, hey, you know what, I found a nugget. There's this guy in Sarnia. Have you guys heard this? And then we share it, and then we do that. It ties into the directory, ties into everything, but because there used to be a lot of that. I mean, back when Mark and I were listening,
to listen to everything.
We listened to every Canadian podcast.
Yeah, and the thing is, there's probably another Bruce Murray out there, and we don't know.
That's exactly it. And he's a guy like us. He doesn't care about money. He's just having fun because he's playing with audio gear and stuff like that.
That's what this buffet will do. Allow those people. And people will, once it's out there, people will want, just like in the beginning, they'll want their show pimped. They'll say, yeah, hey, could I pay a 2-minute clip of mine? But it's going to take a little while to get that going. But we got to breathe new life into it. And I think we've decided. And so I think we can walk away from this Podcamp Toronto with a sense of accomplishment. Hey, something real is going to happen. It can't be just talk and nostalgia. We're moving forward.
I'm wondering if there's actually, is there room for another show? Instead of calling this a Dixon James, call this Inside Canadian Podcasting.
Or Buffet 2.0 or whatever.
No, not Buffet, so people don't find
it. This could be the intro, sure. This is the pre-launch episode.
Would it replace Buffet, you mean?
Well, the second After Dark, where you don't list it on the website. It's just something that you send the feed around.
Why don't you take this audio and make this pre-intro? Because we've covered what we want to talk about, and then we'll follow.
Like a grumpy podcasters. We'll just sit around and bitch and talk about the old podcast when it used to be good.
Old grumpy podcaster.
I think this counts. It works.
So we have to decide.
Our whole point was that everything we did counted, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's some of that to it too. It's like people come in and it's like we did all this thing and we've been at this for 8 years and nobody knows who we are. Or I think at some level there's some of that in there, right? I mean, was it to you? I was saying that somebody said that. Don't you know who he is? It's Bill. Yeah. He's like, how do you not know who Bill is?
I was walking around saying that all last night.
Oh, that's right. It was interesting. There's internet famous, then there's podcasting famous.
Good.
Closing thoughts?
Good.
We're back.
Back on track.
We have a mission.
We're live.
Yeah.
We have to grow.
And we're calling out to you, you new fucking listeners out there who get what we're talking about, to come forward. Let us know who you are and share your passion.
You broke the first rule of podcasting.
talking to
multiple people, not a single person.
Yeah.
Christ, haven't you been paying attention?
Yeah.
And you can edit it out.
And without acting as douchebags, we should learn from marketers to try to reach people. It could be, it's not bad.
It might be.
You're starting
to sound like a douchebag.
But what I said, but
there's a different thing. There's an outreach with the goal of bringing something back.
Yeah. You know? The goal is not to make money or it's just to bring more engagement. So we can use their technique to reach our own goals.
Use their tools against them.
Yeah.
Canadian Podcast Roundtable, CPR.
Good.
In the room were Sylvain Grandmaison, Scarborough Dude, Bob Goyetch, Will Spaisel, and Bill Dees.
And thank you guys. It's been a great conversation.
Uh, Alors, j'espère que vous avez apprécié cette discussion qu'on a eue à Podcam Toronto il y a pas si longtemps que ça. J'avais peur que ça allait que ça allait mal sortir en audio, mais avec un peu de magie, un peu de filtre audio, ça sort quand même pas si mal cette petite conversation là. Puis ben, j'espère que vous avez apprécié nos réflexions. Et bien, moi, je vais terminer ce podcast en vous disant que vous pouvez toujours me laisser des commentaires sur québecbalado.com ou m'envoyer un commentaire à québecbalado@commercial.gmail.com, que ce soit en audio ou en texte, ça fait toujours plaisir. Sinon, envoyez-moi un petit coucou sur Twitter, sur Facebook. Hey, je suis partout, je suis omniprésent et omnipotent sur les médias sociaux. Simplement pour vous dire que j'étais pas sûr si ça allait bien fonctionner, cet enregistrement-là, parce que l'application BuzzJock a planté quand j'ai fait des tests, mais j'avais mis à jour le iOS, le dernier iOS, et puis ben, je crois que ça a réglé le problème. J'ai aussi libéré de la place sur mon iPad pour pouvoir enregistrer tout ça, puis ben, finalement ça fonctionne, on est rendu à 51 minutes et tout baigne. Et puis ben, je suis aussi content de voir la qualité audio de ce micro-là, de ce combiné téléphonique-là. C'est pas aussi riche, évidemment, que mon Electro Voice RE27 à 700$, mais quand même, ça fait là une bonne job et ça me permet de vous parler dans le creux de l'oreille. Donc, c'est Sylvain Grandmaison qui vous dit à très bientôt pour un autre Québec en balado-diffusion, et je vous laisse avec une autre chanson de Loudoyon, ça s'appelle One Day After Another. Je vous dis à très bientôt, je l'espère. Ciao!
Isn't it strange how one day follows another like raindrops on your pains? Running out of time and running out of breath, you drop your dreams one after the other. And there's no time to take it in, no time to take it out. It's one breath right after another. Your faith as you use yourself, 'cause the days go by faster and faster. So drivers, stop their bus, I'm off at the next stop. I need to take some time to lay it all out. Hey driver, I'm getting off. No, I can't win the race. I'll just walk myself to that place where we all end up. Isn't that strange how we can't keep up with the days, and how one face replaces another, and the names they change and the stories they end, but it's the same words, love after lover. And there's no time to remember, no time to forget. It's one step right after another. And you lose your cool as you lose your pride, 'cause your days, yeah, they're getting shorter. So drive on, stop their bus, I'm off at the next stop. I need to take some time to lay it all out. Hey driver, I'm getting off here at the next stop. I'll just walk myself to that place where we all end up. Ourselves grab onto another. So drive.
can stop that bus. I'm off at the next stop, and I need to take some time to lay it all down. Hey driver, I'm getting off here at the next stop. I'll just walk myself to that place where we are.